Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, I've been talking to God and praise God all day, and I almost got disrupted when I tuned in to Blog Talk to Chaos tonight. I tell you, I thought these brethren were real men of God, real men of God. When I tuned in tonight and I heard the elders of the church, the elders, Elder Derek Oliver and Elder Taylor saying that they're going to have theme music tonight and saying the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl, and then had the nerve to talk about us Atlanta folks, talking about our Atlanta Falcons. I tell you what, I'm going to try to stay in the boat on tonight and just keep the ship moving and not jump too far in the flesh. I tell you what, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in here at Chaos Blog Talk Radio, the Omar Zachary. And we'd like to welcome you once again to our Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church, right here in the beautiful city of Lawrenceville, Georgia. Thank you so much for the support you have showed towards our church, showed towards our ministry, our fellowship over these past 6 or 7 months. And we're just so grateful to God. And tonight, I know we got Elder Oliver, because he was part blaspheming when I tuned in. Him and Elder Taylor was part blaspheming when I tuned in. I think we also got Evangelist Stanton on here. I don't know if Elder Bluette is on yet or if my wife is on yet. We need some more Atlanta folk to maybe be on here tonight, you know, where the real saved folk, the real saved Atlanta folk can be on on tonight. You know, I know we few and far in between. You know, ain't many of us born and bred from Atlanta, but I'm an Atlanta boy, you know, born and bred. You know, we got so many immigrants, I guess that's what they would be called, immigrants, amen, that has infiltrated our, you know, infiltrated our beautiful city, you know. So we, you know, thank God I know Jesus. I'll allow them to continue in the Bible study. Ain't no telling what we're going to hear tonight. I thought we was going to have a good Bible study, but ain't no telling what's going to happen tonight. You know, if I'm not on at the end, y'all will know why. Y'all will know why. I have went and started another radio ministry somewhere else. So, amen. But we just thank God. We thank a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drive the bone. I deal with the elders. Yeah. And I deal with them later on. I deal with them later on. Amen. But tonight we're going to be led by our very own elder, Richard Lee Taylor, great man of God. I've been knowing him.
Hey, I think probably over 15, 20, I think it's over 20-some years or so. We've been knowing each other. Yeah. So it's been a long time. It's been a long time. And me, him, his family, our family, we go so far back. So very dedicated man. If he's with you, you're going to know it. And if he's not, you're going to know it. You don't have to, have to second guess him. You don't have to second guess his family. He's a man of his word. He's a man of integrity and a man of accountability. And I'm so grateful to have him as my big brother, and working with us, here at our church. So I'm going to say a quick prayer and then we're going to turn it over to the man of God for the hour. And let's hear what the Lord is saying through him and through the team. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once more and again. We give you glory and honor. God, I ask you now to forgive those that Elder Taylor, as he gets ready to go forth, I ask that you created him a clean heart. And while you're cleaning his heart, God, I ask you clean Elder Oliver's heart, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those of us that remain saved, me and Evangelist Stanton, over the last few minutes. And I pray now, God, that you will give Elder Taylor what needs to be said for this Bible study on tonight. God, clean us up, God. We know that something to be said tonight that will touch, heal, and deliver your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Taylor, the service is in your hands, my brother.
All right, Pastor, appreciate that good word, man, that good prelogue. Yeah, Pastor, you know, just to give you the listeners that's listening in and may have just tuned in, you know, letting them know that you wasn't really rebuking us because, you know, we wasn't really, you know, it ain't like it's hate for the Atlanta Falcons. It just ain't good. So, you know, me and Elder Oliver, you know, we love the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's our team. And, you know, he played a little song, you know, a prelude before we came on the air and said, you know, it's the Steelers song and that we're going to win another Super Bowl. And Pastor got wind of it and, you know, so he ain't really rebuking us. You know, it's just that we, you know, not now anyway, but, you know, I mean, it's just all in fun. And I guess he'll talk to us later on when this is all over. But I'm glad that everybody tuned in, the ones that's listening tonight. And we have a word, what I believe is from the Lord. And it's about what we want to talk about. We want to talk about knowing who you are. Knowing who you are tonight in God, not just naturally knowing who you are. You know who you are naturally, but who you are spiritually in the things of God. And how do operate? Do we walk? Do we talk heavy in the things of God? Do we discern in the spirit the things of God? Because we're going to see, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to see some examples of knowing who you are and fulfilling who you are in the body of Christ. And then we're going to see an example of who you think you are or who you try to manipulate other people to believe who you are and the repercussions and the consequences that happens behind that. So we have to stand firm on what we believe, and we cannot manipulate the things of God. And we cannot, let's go right into the scriptures. We're going to be in Acts, the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And everybody that's listening, I'm glad that you tuned in tonight, and I just hope that you get a little nugget out of the word tonight that you may find yourself somewhere in the scriptures tonight as I as I've done, you know, and as the word came to me first. And I pray that someone, you find a little nugget, something that can help you get along to the next time. All right? So we should all be there, the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And we want to start at the 11th verse. And just to give you a little backdrop on this chapter, you know, this is where Paul was in the city of Ephesus. And just to give you a little backdrop of the first 10 verses here, Paul was there, and he came across through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples there, you know, and he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." So they hadn't even heard that they be. Now these are disciples of John. They hadn't even heard that there would be such thing as the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And he said unto them, "Were ye baptized?" And they said, "Yeah, we was baptized into John's baptism." You know. And so Paul said, you know, then Paul said, "Verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ." And so when Paul heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul had laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues, prophesied, all of that stuff, and all the men were about 12. So this is what's going on at this time when Paul was was in Ephesus. Then he went on to teach in the school of Tyrannus for about 2 years. He began to teach there for about 2 years. And then we get to where I want to go into in verse 11. Now, all this is going on, you know, privy to what we're going to talk about tonight. And the story is about knowing who you are. The subject is about knowing who you are and what God is to you, and how can you walk in the power and the things of God, knowing that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Knowing who the enemy is, knowing that he devours us if we allow him to. If we're not who we say we are, he will whoop us, beat us. Everything that he can do to us, he will do it if we allow him to do so. So the enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, who he can get. You know, God asked him, he said, "Where are you coming from, Satan?" He said, "Here and through and here and out the earth and everything." And Jesus said, "Well, have you tried my servant Job?"
Right.
So that's just an example. That's not what we're going to cover, but that's just an example how we always have to be ready and be in place to take on any and everything that may come our way. And we have to be, he said, okay, somebody, I can hear somebody in the spirit say, how can we be ready at all times? Prayer life, word life, Holy Ghost, all these things in a teaching atmosphere, a preaching atmosphere, love the word of God, love Jesus Christ. Love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything that you can consume of the things of God to get in your body so that I cannot sin against God, so that I cannot sin against the Holy Ghost, so that with anything, because I put on the whole armor, thank you, Holy Ghost, I put on the whole armor of God every day. It's a daily walk. It's something that we have to do on a daily basis.
Yes, sir.
So let's go into scriptures, verse 11. And these scriptures, we don't have to drill down real hard because it's pretty simple, you know, so we don't have to drill down really hard. For example, verse 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." And this is where God is getting ready to use Paul to exude special miracles and get ready to be an example to the people how Paul is being used by God during this time. Verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, that's power right there. And Pastor, you and Evangelist Stan and other of y'all can jump in at any time. You know, correct me if I say anything wrong, but just jump in at any time you want to add something to what I'm saying here.
Yes,
in verse 12 again, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Can you imagine how heavy you got to be in the things of God?
Wow.
That your aprons and your handkerchiefs could be taken to the sick, and the ones that are possessed or being tormented by evil spirits would make them leave you alone. Okay,
come on, bro.
Heal
come on.
Your body. That's power.
Come on, man. Yes, sir.
How great would it be to walk in that kind of power in today's age?
Mm-hmm.
How can we get to a place where God could use us like that?
Yes,
you
sir.
Can just speak to someone and say, be thou healed in the name of Jesus. Be thou rid of this spirit, the spirit of torment, be gone, and then leave that person just like that.
Yep.
That's power. That's authority. That's the things that we have to walk in, especially in a day like today, and especially in an age like this. We have to walk in power and authority in everything that we do in our daily walk, and we have to be an example so that the enemy, when he sees us, he knows who you are. When the enemy looks at us, he knows what to expect from us because he can see our walk with the Lord. And
that's
he has
good,
to know
man.
That if he comes and messes with Bishop Omar Zagre, he knows he's going to have a battle on his hands. If
that's
he knows he's coming to mess with Evangelist Stanton, he knows he's going to have a battle on his hands. It ain't going to be no easy way. If he come to mess with Oliver, he knows, because I see his prayer life. I see what he's doing. I know this ain't going to be no easy way. I'm going to have to bring legion with me. I'm going to have to bring many spirits with me in order to try to gain success against this. Elder Taylor, I'm going to have to come. I'm going to have to bring the whole game, because I know his prayer life. I know what he's doing. I know his study. I know his relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
He don't play with the things of God. So the enemy knows that. He sees that. Amen?
That's right.
Okay, let's go to verse
18.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, all right, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.
This is
where you get into trouble.
Come on.
This is where you get into trouble. See, now you got some vagabond Jews. Vagabond, word means that they have no place, no home. They just go around and just do different things. They don't have a job. They don't have no certain job. They don't have a place. They just go around doing certain things. You know, some people that like the church hop and go to church, the church.
Come on, preacher.
And do different things.
Come on, preacher.
They're not settled, you know, and
wow.
They really don't trust God. They really don't do the things that what God is telling them to do, but they proclaim to do it. Or you may have people that may look the part.
Yes, sir.
Good example. People may look the part, but they may not
yes,
be the part. See, we just can't look the part. We got to be the part. See, it's one thing to say I'm an elder, but do I do the things that execute the office? Do I do the things that execute the title? It's one thing to be called a deacon, an evangelist, a pastor, a bishop, whoever you call it, whatever, a prophet, a prophetess, whatever you call yourself. But do I do a brother, a sister of the Lord? Do I do the things to execute the title that I have? In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Do I walk in the things that I do? Can I execute the authority that I have holding this title? Or do
That's
I,
good,
just,
man.
You know, sit with my toddler, looking all nice and pompous, and have no power at all? No power. So this is where the vagabonds were. They had no power. They thought they did. But they didn't, because they manipulated people and believing that they did. And here's an example in verse 13. There's certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. Now, here they're calling people over that have evil spirits to them.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." See, they didn't say, "By what we believe, we adjure you, you evil spirit, you spirit of this, you spirit of that," by what pastor preaches. If I'm trying to get somebody to get delivered of the spirit, I can't do it in pastor's name or what just what pastor believes. I have to do it by what my strength is.
That's right.
I can't do it on what pastor's strength is. I have to do it on what my strength is. This is where they're going to get in trouble. This is what's going to cause them to be messy. And see, this is going to cause them, because now they're operating in no power. And see, the enemy knows who got power and who don't. The enemy
knows who
got it and who don't have it.
That's right.
Amen. So,
Elder Taylor.
You got something, Evangelist?
I do, man. You teach me things.
That's good. That's good.
I had recently wrote this down in this formation. I recently wrote down, people just want the experience, but they don't want the relationship.
Right.
And
people
just want the experience of God. You know, they want God to come in and heal. They want God to come in and take care of what they needed to be taken care of, but they don't want the relationship. They don't want to get up in the morning and pray. They don't want to read their Bible. They want you to tell them the scripture to go to versus looking up the scripture for themselves. They want the experience, but not the relationship. But God is calling us to have the relationship and not just get the experience.
Yeah, that's good.
Wow.
That's good. And, and see, that's where people, they want the hand of God, but they don't want to get his feet or get in his face.
There you go. There you go.
They want Jesus just to hold their hand, you know, and spoon feed them, you know, give them what they want. But see, but it takes work to stay at his feet, because now I got to be humble.
Yep.
It takes work to get in his face, because now I need strength and power to stay in his face. You see, and so you right on point with that, Evangelist Stan, because just like football players, as you got some players, they just want to get to the game. They don't want to do the practice stuff.
Right.
So they don't want to do what it takes, the work, the training, the getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to get that work in before they go to school. They don't want to do all of that.
Right.
See, the game is the glory. You know, and that's where a lot of Christians are. They just want to get to the glory part without going through the work part. You see? And see, Jesus would have known that he could trust us with the grind stuff.
Because
if we be faithful over a few things, he'll make us ruler over many. But we don't want to be faithful over the few things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just want to get to the big stuff and not deal with the little stuff that help us get to the big stuff. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to read verse 13 and go right into 14. Then a certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. Again, they were calling people over that had evil spirits. The name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now, they're not saying, We adjure you in Jesus' name. We convict you. We're telling you to come out in the name of Jesus because of our strength. We're telling you to do this on Paul's strength based off of what he preaches. See? So that lets the enemy know right there, these people ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing going on. I have no fear of these people. Because you know when the enemy is fearful of who you are. and how you walk and how you talk. So, verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. Now, there's some scholars that believe that he wasn't a priest, a high priest during this time. He was a chief of the priests. Some scholars believe that there was no priest during this time named Sceva. Sceva is a Greek name. So, so in Jerusalem at this time, or Ephesus at this time, there was, some scholars say, but the Bible says here that, and chief of the priests, which did so. So you have to, I guess, dig into that a little deeper to see if he was an actual high priest, like Aaron was the first high priest. You have to see if he was actually a high priest. Pastor, if you can add anything to that, you know, you can. But, you know, but it's debatable if he was a like a authentic high priest, because during this time they said that certain that they could take on the position, you know, and call themselves something without actually being authorized to be so. So that could be so. So that's verse 14 going into verse 15. And the evil spirit. Now this is where I got the title from, Knowing Who You Are. Okay. This is where it got me. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered. Now he, the spirits was talked back to you.
That's right.
They would talk back to you and let you know a few things and let you know who you are and who you ain't.
That's right.
You know, because then the spirits tell Jesus, why have you come to torment us before our time?
That's right.
And he said, don't throw them to them pigs over there. You know, so they knew who Jesus was, right? So we're going to find out here. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you? Backbone? The sons of Sceva, who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you to have authority to cast me out? Who are you to have authority to tell me anything? Because I know what you do. I know who you are. I know who you ain't. I know what kind of power you have. I know what kind of power you don't have. I know how you manipulate and control the people. So you have no power. I think it says somewhere where a devil can't cast out a devil.
Right. Right.
And somebody said, I don't know, I can't remember if that scripture or not. Somebody can let me know if it is. But a devil can't cast out a devil.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Beelzebub. Yeah.
So so how can, how is this enemy, now if an enemy told me that, and I'm trying to help somebody get delivered of a tormenting spirit that's operating in him, and the enemy speak to me like that and say, wait a minute, Jesus I know, Paul I know, because see, they know Paul from all the things, from the miracles that God was using him for previously in this chapter.
Yep.
See, they knew the exploits of Paul and how Paul was being used by God, how Paul was being used by Jesus. They knew his exploits. They knew that Paul walked heavy in the things of God. And he stood firm. He stood firm on his convictions of what he believed and what God was teaching, what Jesus was teaching him to be. So he understood.
Yes, sir.
So this spirit, this evil spirit, knew that. So that's why he told them that was trying to cast out these several spirits. And wait. Who are you? Well, we know Jesus. Everybody know who Jesus is. We know Paul.
Yeah.
Everybody know. Because he speaks to everybody. Paul speaks to the Gentiles. He speaks to the Jews. We understand his convictions. We understand who he is. But we don't know who you are. Who are you?
That's right.
So can I ask yourself, who are you? What do you represent? Is that what the enemy is saying about you, about me? Who are you? I don't know you.
Wow.
Because you don't pose any threat.
Come on.
To the enemy.
Wow.
The enemy is about you if you don't pose no threat to him or his kingdom.
Wow.
So who are you? Is that what the enemy is saying about you? About me? Who's ever listening tonight?
Wow.
Who are you? I want the enemy to know my name. I want the enemy to understand who I am in Jesus. I want him to say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Richard I know too.
Yes. Yes.
I want him to be fearful of the things of my convictions of who I say I am in Jesus Christ or who Jesus say that I am in him. Not what I say who I am in him, but what Jesus say who I am in him.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Paul already had the stamp of authority from Jesus, and his spirits knew that. That's why they brought his name up.
Right.
They understood who Paul was. So let's read that scripture again for those that are listening. We're in Acts 19, verses 11 through 20. We're at verse 15 right now. And it reads, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded.
Come on, bro. Come on, Taylor. Come on, Taylor.
Think about the house naked and wounded. They said that the head was bruised, and my study said that the head was messed up. They would have bruises on it and all on their head. And not only did the spirit send them out the house, he took them, stripped them of their clothes.
Come on, Taylor.
Made them naked and run out the house. That lets you know right there, they had no power.
Oh, man. Wow.
Have you ever been stripped and naked by the enemy?
Come on, man.
Have you ever been naked by the enemy? Has an enemy ever beat you on your head and took your clothes off and kicked you out? You ain't got no power. Get out of here.
Wow.
I ain't worried about you. I'm going to strip you of your clothes, make you naked, beat you on your head, and kick you out. So everybody can now you're exposed to everything, the people that you've been manipulating. Now you're exposed to the people that you've been tricking. Now you're exposed to the things that you've been manipulating, controlling people on, making them believe you're something that you're not.
Come on, preacher. Come on, man. Yes, sir.
So now you out here butt naked and a busted head. How do you explain that, Elder?
Wow.
How do you explain that, Evangelist? Deacon? Brother? Sister? How do we explain we out in the street naked and busted up head? But you say that you get all the power. You say that you got this. You can preach the word like it ain't nobody's business. You can do it now. You ain't, but you don't have no power. I want the enemy to know who I am. Some people might say, I don't want this because they're scared of me. You know why they're scared? Because they don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. They're scared of the enemy.
Yes, sir.
You got to be able to fight. You want the enemy to know who you are. So whenever you feel like you're being attacked, because see, another thing is Jesus will allow the enemy, he'll offer you up.
Yeah.
Just like he did with Job. So you always have to be ready. Because Jesus could say, look, Elder Taylor, I know he's this, that, and the other. And you cannot make him change his mind about who he believes I am to him. So I'm going to let you have him for a little bit. So either way, you got to be ready. Whether the enemy try to come on his own or you get offered up by God. You see? So you always have to be ready. Always. Anybody got anything from the panel tonight?
Doc,
okay.
I tell you, hold on. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'll tell your wife to bring
you some peppermint and some preaching peppermint and some ice water, man. You working tonight, Doc? It was two things I've been thinking about, and I didn't want to disrupt you because you unpacking that suitcase. it's funny how Paul. I'm gonna say these two things. It's funny how Paul did not charge for the handkerchiefs and the parts of his clothing,
his apron
and handkerchief that was sent and was taken to the needy. Why is it that the church now, you got these apostles, these bishops, all these folks, especially on TV and stuff, and some of y'all in the churches, some of you listening to me in your churches, You selling healings and I mean, are we Catholics or what? I mean, are we supposed to be selling, things like, we can't find that in scripture. Paul could have easily said, well, I'm going to sell this, or if y'all give me an offering, you give me an offering, then you can get this handkerchief or you can get my apron. Because, that would have been the perfect time for him to, stop making tents. I think Paul was a tent maker. That would have been the perfect time, for him to stop doing his regular occupation and just go full throttle, selling, I think like indulgences or whatever that stuff is that, you sell for healing.
Right.
And, you pay money to help your family, those that done crossed over, you get a certain amount of money, you help them get a special place in heaven and all this. So that was the first thing. We never see where Paul abused his authority.
Right. Exactly.
And think about it.
Exactly.
If you got a person that's ill, you got a person that's demon possessed, they'll give everything to be whole. Anybody in the hospital, nobody in their right mind wants to be laid up in a hospital. Nobody in their right mind wants to be laid up in a hospital. So I give you give whatever. You'll clear out the bank account if that means you're going to have your health. And then the other thing I was thinking about while you was teaching, how many times have we had conversations with people and their spirit jumped off on us, and now we are acting like they were acting? Me and Evangelist, me and Elder Blewett ain't had no problems with each other, but now I've been talking to Elder Oliver, and because Elder Oliver got an issue with Elder Blewett, now that Oliver was carrying done jumped off on me. Now I'm looking at Elder Blewett in a strange way.
And that happens
so much in the church, because we deal with so many, and you talked about it, and I think Benley Stanton was talking about it also. We deal with so many weak-minded folk that don't know how to stand up and don't know how to say enough is enough. Don't know how to say, don't call me with that junk. I'm not a trash can. I don't want to hear all that. Mm-hmm. So now we got people that are turn on each other, and I ain't did nothing to you. I ain't did nothing but try to help you, try to, be a blessing. I've been a friend to you, but now you done jumped off with somebody else and been entertaining their conversation. Now that spirit that was in them has jumped off on you. Now you got an issue with me also.
Because we condone it and we indulge that spirit. Instead of operating in the spirit of discernment, we listen with natural ears and not with spiritual ears. And because, like you said, people can be messy, and people,
yes, sir.
You know, because if anybody came to me and said anything about you, Pastor, and I would be like, well, hold on, wait a minute, we
right.
gotta stop this
right
now.
Right.
I'm not going there with you. If you got an issue with Pastor, that's between you and him.
There
not,
you go.
I can't take that on. You're
right.
not going to change my mind about who he is to me.
Right.
So.
Right.
Because he ain't did
that's
nothing
good,
to me.
Man.
And I've had to tell people that before in our
right.
own church.
Right.
Hold on. No.
Right.
That ain't working. That's not going to work with me. I'm sorry, brother. You know, and these are men, you know.
This
ain't going to work with me. I'm sorry. You can just go on to the next one because I ain't the one, you know. So,
that's right.
You know, so
that's
you,
right.
You're so right that people can, you know, think you a trash can and just want to dump on you.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to Evangelist.
All right,
Dan, you have anything?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a word that we use, we entertain the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about
mm-hmm.
it, the word entertain means to provide with amusement mm-hmm. or enjoyment, but it's enjoyment
wow.
or to the flesh.
Wow.
Yes,
that's
entertain because now it brings that enjoyment to the flesh. That's
wow.
what we're those spirits, and you're right. We have to not allow ourselves to entertain that.
Wow!
That's great. That's a great
wow.
statement. That is so true. All right, so we're going. Let's go over 16 and go right into 17. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. And overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and all the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So everybody that heard about this, not only the Jews but the Greeks, everybody that was in Ephesus at this time heard what went on down the street, and fear fell upon them, and they said, "Oh God, we need Jesus," and Jesus' name was magnified from that point on, because they knew these spirits were playing, and they knew that these evil spirits, what these evil spirits had done to these vagabonds, to these brothers that had been manipulating people throughout Ephesus and probably all over Asia, wherever they were, Jerusalem, wherever they were at the time, and they knew what had happened to them. And they began, and Jesus' name was magnified at that point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And many, verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They came confessing. Because they weren't believing, and they was believing what these guys were teaching and preaching. Can you imagine if your pastor got exploited like that, got exposed like that, I should say?
Come on.
And, and you was like, wait a minute, we was going along with what he was saying, and look
uh-huh.
at him now. And
yep.
So we were believing the wrong thing the whole time. So now
yes,
we got to get right with Jesus. We was wrong the whole time because they were following after these vagabonds. You know,
mm-hmm.
they see how they were exposed out in, you know, being put out this house naked and wounded. And so now they got to confess. They got to, wait a minute. We was listening to the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, and not just our pastor, but any pastor or
right.
any teacher. Any evangelist, any elder, any deacon, either any brother, any sister, if you
right.
get exposed to that degree, that would make you think, wait a minute now. For him to get exposed like this, he must have been wrong.
Come on, bro.
He could not have been
that's
right
good.
To be exposed to this level. Mm. You know, to get exposed. Did I hear Elder Bluette on here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the rabbi.
Got a comment.
The rabbi.
I'm
the rabbi is here.
Brother.
The rabbi is here.
But I do want to go back because you had asked a question or made a good comment on verse 14. Then you can go right back to where you were.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to verse 14.
And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew,
uh-huh.
and chief of the
uh-huh.
priests, which did. So at this time, there were no high priests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
People were replicating
yep.
themselves
okay.
after the priesthood.
Right.
So
that's what he
said.
Yep.
With the Levi family. So at this time, there were no official high priest. Jesus
okay.
had already did his thing. So mm-hmm. then that reminds me of like just say for our church personally,
mm-hmm.
when we do get this and the service is over and they come up and speak to the pastor and, you know, introduce themselves as elder this or bishop that or whatever,
right.
minister, whatever. And what our pastor do and what I love that he does is that, okay, if you say that's what you are, who am I to say that you're not?
That's
right.
I appreciate you appreciate having you here and your family. Please feel free to come in anytime you want to. The doors are open. And so
right.
some people have came and came with their titles.
Right.
Right? See how
yeah.
the word is
yeah.
taught in the priest of our church.
Yeah.
And then when
right.
you know, Pastor, you get, okay, well, this Sunday I'm going to let you come up, or this Tuesday I'm going to let you come up. And no power is
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember them thinking, you know, or they sit up in a pulpit the way it should go. So even at this time in the book of Acts, you had people
yeah.
running around supposedly being an apostle or a bishop or a chief priest.
That's
that
good.
Was the, that was what was happening here as it happens now today. So when it
right.
came time to perform the word of God, to use the power of God, there was no power there to be used.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's happening today. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The title.
Great
point. They want to sell holy water. They want to sell everything
yeah.
to make a profit. You see, that's
right.
Okay. It can go on forever just on that one verse. But great job. I've been listening to this. And you are absolutely on point, Elder. Absolutely on point.
Thank you, brother.
One more thing. Nothing else. One more thing. So we got to be careful not knowing what's in us.
Mm.
We have to be of putting on these collars and these robes and these preaching,
yes.
All this looking
yes.
the part.
Yes.
And it
yes.
comes to a point where somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be healed.
Right.
Somebody is possessed.
Right.
Somebody is in
yes.
trouble, and you don't have the power of Jesus to do it.
Wow.
See?
That's so good. That's so good, brother. That is so good.
God will let you
wow.
set yourself up.
Yeah.
But he know when he going to bring you down. He'll let you bring your own self down when it comes to what you thought you had. So we got to be careful. Like
yeah.
Evangelist Stephen yeah. said, we got to put the work in. We got to pray. We got to
yeah.
meditate.
Yeah.
We got to have with God. We got to study our word. We got to be ready.
Right.
And you can't run from it.
No.
Everybody's
wow.
going to be proved. This so-called high priest and his sons were proved. And before all the people, God put them down.
Yes.
Great lesson.
Wow.
Because to add to your comments, Elder Bluette, because when I was looking at this, I would say, how could his sons, now if he's a high priest, you know, calling himself, God called him to the position of a high priest. How could his sons be the way that they are? How could his sons be the vagabonds that they were if their father was a high priest called by God? So evidently,
yeah, there's a difference.
He was not called by God. Would you believe, would you say that would be correct?
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I say when people come to our church and they bring they letters from their previous church. I'm this, that. Okay, that's fine. Hey, we glad to bring more strength to us. But when it comes time to use what you said you had, now you want to, you know, not come the next Sunday or the next Sunday, or we don't even see you no more. Because we're teaching the truth. Teaching the truth and we're preaching the truth. And we held it, we're holding all of ourselves accountable to the Word of God.
That's right.
The truth is the foundation. Anything that cannot settle on that foundation got to go.
Got to go. That's right.
It got to go.
Yep.
It cannot abide. If it does try to abide, it's going to be miserable.
Yep. Amen.
All right. Well, we're about done. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Bluette. Great comment. We're going to go 19 right into 20. That'd be it for the scripture. Then we can go over any comments that anybody might have. Verse 19, we're in Acts 19, verses 11 through 20. We're at verse 19 right now. Many of them also which use curious arts. Brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So now they're all scared. They're all nervous. They've confessed. And the ones that believe and confess and show their deeds, many of them, which they said, we got to burn all this stuff that we had, all of this natural books, all of these books of witchcraft, all these books of all the stuff we was reading, we got to burn it up now.
Yes, sir.
We got to get rid of it because these spirits ain't playing.
Come on,
and
man.
If we ain't got the Holy Spirit, these spirits can do to us what we saw it do to them. Because we see that they had no power against these evil spirits. See, there's Holy Spirit and there's evil spirit. So we got to be on the Holy Spirit side.
Right.
And so that we can combat these evil ones. And so what they was doing, the Jews and the Greeks, everybody that knew what was going on, they came and brought all their books together and burned them before all the men. In front of everybody. We want everybody to see that we confess. We don't want to go through what they went through. We love God because it said Jesus' name was magnified.
Yes, sir.
In verse 17, at the end of verse 17, Jesus was magnified. So now they're beginning to uplift, and we can't do the things that we was doing before because we witnessed something that we hadn't seen before. We've seen people being exposed to a level that we have never seen be exposed. That could be us if we continue in this way.
Yeah.
So we confess. We get rid of all of this stuff. We want all this stuff. We're gonna burn it in front of everybody.
Yes.
So that's what they did. They got their stuff right. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word of God spread and grew, and it prevailed against the works of the enemy at that time.
Yes.
God gonna win. If you put your trust in him and your confidence in him and you walk upright before him and you do the things that he's expecting for you to do, you're going to win. It may not look like it all the time. It may not seem like it all the time. It may not feel like it all the time because you're flesh and blood. But know that the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ wins. And he wins every time. You cannot go wrong with Jesus on your side. So everybody that's out there listening tonight, know who you are. Know what Jesus is saying about you, not what you are saying about yourself and what he and the things of God. Know what Jesus is saying about you. Know what kind of power and authority that you walk in, so that you know how to prevail against the enemy when he comes. Because he's going to come. He's going to try you. Oh, you say you Elder Ted? Okay, let's see what you got.
Right.
You know, he can tempt you. He can do every little thing, send his imps and his spirits against you. Like Pastor said, you talk to somebody, and that spirit can try to jump off on you.
That's right. That's right.
But you want to be in a position, you want to be so in the things of God that spirit think twice. That spirit can look at you and go, I don't know. I don't think I can handle that Holy Spirit in him or her.
Right.
Because I see their prayer life.
Right.
I see them studying in the Word. I see the Holy Ghost operating in them. I see that they can operate in the spirit of discernment. So they can see who I am. So when you walk heavy, I like to say, when you walk heavy in the things of God, those spirits, they may think about trying you, but you know, even if they know they're gonna get their head whooped, they still might try. You know, you got younger siblings, you got, you know, little brothers, little sisters. They get a little bold, they get a little big, they might, I'm going to have to try my brother. You know, like I got two younger brothers, they both jumped me because they thought they could whoop me. So they going to try to jump me at the same time. But then when I got on that head, they was like, nah, we don't want none of this. Be ready for him. You know, and that's the way you want your spirits to be. That's the way you want your spirits to be. Oh, I ain't ready. I can't mess with these better status. So I know what kind of sister that is in God. I know what kind of sister that is in Jesus. I ain't ready for her. You know, you got to bring something to get something. You know, and that's the way you want to be in the spirit for everybody that's out there listening. That's the way you want to be every day, all day. You want to be that way. You want to walk it. You want to talk it. You want to believe it. You want to trust it. You want to walk after the Word. You want to do the things that the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. You know,
that's right.
So when that enemy do come to look around your house, they'd be like, oh, this house still full. You know, this house is still good to go. I ain't trying to get in this house.
Right.
You know, so that's what we got to be. Amen. That's how we have to be as an individual person, and then as a collective body of believers throughout the world. And then we can come against that, and we can discern, and we can see what's going on. It helps us to communicate better with each other. It helps us to be allies one to another. It helps everything that Jesus has purposed in our life and what he wants to do in the earth today. So just take that, people, and walk with that. I hope everybody got something out of it and a little nugget from what the Word was spoke today. And I believe that I hope the Lord bless those that were listening tonight and that you got a
great
little something out of it. You know, you got a little something out of it. And so, Pastor, if you, Evangelist Stan or Elder Bluette, if your wife is one, if anybody got anything they would like to add to the Word tonight, I'm open for it. I'm done. Pastor, you can take it over from here and just give it to anybody that might have something they want to say. Thank
Great
you,
job,
sir.
Doc. Great job. Great job. Oh, man, All right, let me try to hold my mule. Elder Bluette, any last comments, Elder Bluette?
Yeah, just one. And just how people try to portray their thinking of themselves, seeing something that's great. Like I like talking about our church because we have a great church, we have a great staff, we have a great, and people are sometimes see that. And want to be a part of that falsely. Just want to be present with it falsely. 16 and 17, there's a gap there. Some time went by. So at the latter part of verse 16, where it says, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded, there's a gap there before 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all. And the name of the Lord was magnified, meaning the name of the Lord was preached more, taught more.
Mm-hmm.
That it was preached after the fact of the evidence. evidence of God at work at what the people had seen. So,
right.
so when, and I have witnessed that when people come to our church, and I can only speak of our church with these so-called titles and this, that, and the other, when it comes your time around, I mean, we need you. And
right.
we need what God put in you. But if you bring in yourself, we don't need. It's all about
right.
the people that's witnessing what's going on in the church. So
mm-hmm.
when the people saw what happened to this so-called fake high priest or this fake apostle
mm-hmm.
or this fake bishop, right? Then the people
yep.
started believing on the word of God that was taught before they came and was taught after they came. It's still
yes,
the
sir.
Same teaching, truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we ourselves even got to be careful that if we don't puff our own selves up.
That's right.
That's right.
A lot of us
right.
now, I mean, we're of age now to where nobody should be able to puff us up or put us
right.
on the pedestal and us not. So we got to be careful. We got to stay humble. We got to stay humble. Got to stay humble.
Right.
And we can see right. not being humble can do and how it would affect the people.
Yeah.
But if that truth is
right.
being preached and it's being practiced and it's being shown
uh-huh.
and evidence and even evidence of his preached word and taught word, then you will have people draw onto you. And it's funny, me and Pastor had this conversation last year, and it may have been 2 years ago, but I know it was last year for sure, about people that are coming to our church at that time were people that were hurt in other churches.
Yeah.
See?
Yep.
So by
yep.
us being hurt from church, we knew
yep.
how to welcome them humbly.
That's right.
And passionately with compassion.
Right.
And make sure that they're always good.
Yep.
See, so those are the effects of true preaching and teaching. The effects is to help people.
See?
So once we got to a certain level or got to a certain place in God, God started sending those people that needed that.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
So we can't refuse somebody to say, well, I'm just that and the other. Okay, that's fine. You know, okay,
yep.
now show me works.
That's
right.
it.
I understand you got faith. Show me your works.
That's it.
Yeah.
And James said, I'll show you my faith by my works.
By my works. That's right.
Yeah.
So the works is not what save us. The works come from believing in Jesus Christ and doing works because of his grace to serve
that's
him,
it.
Meaning serve
that's
people. That's the motive we got to keep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So things... this is a great piece of scripture from 11 to 20. It's powerful. And that verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
That's it.
And prevailed.
That's it.
Great job.
All right. Thank you, Elder. Thank you. Evangelist Stanton, you got any last words?
This was a great teaching on tonight. I just want to reiterate again, not just seeking the experience, but having the relationship with God. And, you know, it's something that Pastor always says, you let people talk, they'll tell who they really are. You don't have to say much. Just
yeah.
let them talk. That's going to expose really what's in their heart. So we get back to a relationship and not just an experience with God, whether we're minister, evangelist, pew member, whoever you are, you want
right.
a genuine relationship with God because that's what he wants from us. He wants that genuine relationship. Then that would
mm-hmm.
allow light to shine as the church so that the lost can see and get to you so that you can give them what this hope is. Great word
yes.
tonight,
Elder.
Great word.
Yes. Great. I think I heard my baby's mama on the line. Baby, are you still on?
Yes, honey. I'm still here.
All right. Watch out now. I'll be home in a little while now. Just talk real quick. I'll be home now. I'll be home.
Just really quick. Real quick. I don't have a lot to say, but I did receive a lot on tonight, Elder Taylor.
So thank you for that word tonight. It was definitely on time for me. I can't speak for everybody else, but thank you for that word, and that's it. God bless you, Elder.
All right. All right. Listen, all of y'all out there, all y'all that's claiming the name of Christ and you practicing black art and voodoo and witchcraft and you reading your horoscope every morning, you looking at a magazine or you calling the psychic line, what we want you to do is do like these people did in the scripture. Throw your books down. Burn them. Don't give them away. Don't give them books away. Burn them. Burn them. Put them in the trash can. Pour bleach on them. Gas them. Okay? Everything you need is in the Word of God. Okay? Everything you need is in the Word of God. And if you need more books, get you some more books that's still going to be, that's going to acknowledge the Word of God as being the final authority. But stop letting your life be dictated by a witch or a warlock, or stop calling the 1-800 psychic line. Okay, because when you do that stuff, you open yourself up, just like these men did. You open yourself up to other demonic forces. Okay, you open yourself up to other demonic teachings and being possessed by the devil. Okay, stop doing that stuff. Okay, Jesus is all sufficient. Okay, He's enough. He everything we need is in Christ. Elder Taylor, once again, bro, that was some great. That was real good on tonight. And thanks to our leadership panel for chiming in on tonight. As always, I tell you what, I am so. I just talked to another sister on the day and invited her to the Tuesday night Bible study. I don't just invite to the Friday night and Sunday morning, but I'm telling people, everybody I talk to, I'm telling them about the Tuesday night Bible study. And this has been, Lord, I enjoyed it when we was together, but it just seemed like this is, I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but it just seemed like these last 7 months of this type of teaching and us supporting and being on the same on one accord, it seemed like it has taken the teaching and the study, you know, it seemed like it has taken it to another level. Elder Oliver, I think, told me a while back or so that even the listeners, some of the listeners thought that we sit down and plan what's going to be taught. And we all kind of study it out, you know, together. And he had to tell them, I think, if I'm wrong, correct me on this, but Elder Oliver had to tell them, no, they just, you know, this the way pastor, whoever gets up to teach, that's whatever they teach and whatever. And then the just everyone else just chime in. And that's what we do. We, you know, I think Elder Taylor didn't even send his scriptures out to maybe this morning or this afternoon.
Yeah.
So we don't have time. We don't. Yeah, this morning we don't round table and, you know, do all that. I mean, but you know, I just want to thank y'all once again as your brother, as your pastor.
I interrupt you.
Okay, go ahead, Ella Oliver.
No, I was just gonna comment. You're absolutely right. And even tonight, there was a few comments about, you know, how long y'all prepared to do the lesson on.
Oh wow.
So, wow. Yeah, that's kind of right on time. But also, I just wanted to say to Elder Taylor, Stiller Nation was behind you tonight, and they thought the song that was played before got in because you was going like you was preaching. And that's what they told me to say if I had a chance to say, you know, they heard you. And you really did an excellent job tonight.
Elder Oliver. Wait a minute. Elder Oliver. Why you start stuttering like you're preaching? And I mean, you know, you don't say that many answers for me. And you just talking.
Yeah, it's a Stiller Nation thing. Elder Taylor knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's all it is.
The Stiller Nation. All right, Doc. We'll be there. So the Stiller Nation have to start stuttering like they preaching, and I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
You heard the message tonight. Elder Taylor brought it. He brought it. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to go back and do the engineering job. But, yeah, Elder Taylor brought it. And it was because of the theme song he had to give him that push.
It was the theme song.
Wow, the theme song.
Well, hey,
not
play that every time I see
he gonna have to play that. He gonna have to look on the baseball field. They have walk up music. So Elder Taylor, that's gonna be your introduction, your walk up music.
Once again,
we would like to thank y'all so much. As we stated, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drives the bone. So we're gonna do the final prayer tonight. Listen, this Thursday night, for the fall months, we're going to be our Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. We are changing our Friday night services to Thursday night at 7 o'clock. My children, I got two of my sons, they running me and my wife all over Georgia with baseball, and Elder Taylor serves as chaplain for his football team. I serve as chaplain for my high school, Central Gwinnett High School football team. And Friday nights, we are still ministering. Elder Taylor is still ministering on Saturdays and throughout the week to the youth. And so we're just starting this Thursday night. We're gonna change our Friday night service to Thursday night. So Friday night, y'all tune in Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here at Chaos Blog Talk Radio and with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministry. So meet us back here Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you. We appreciate you. We thank you for the taught word on tonight. And we know that your word won't return to your void. But we thank you, God. We thank you for the many nuggets. And I know that that word pricked someone's heart, and it also encouraged someone on tonight. And we just thank you. As we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you, Chaos. We'll see you on Thursday night. Be blessed.
We want to go back to the old school for a minute. Hand clapping and toe tapping. We want to visit our friends over in Chicago. Sister Albertina Walker, Inez Andrews.